The Rambam writes in the second parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Vav, Afal Pisha HaTshuva VaHatzaaka Yafa LaOlam, even though Tshuva is a virtuous thing to be involved in at any point during the year, Ba'asara Yamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, during this period of time, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, He Yafa B'Yoser, it is even more encouraged that we involve ourselves in Tshuva, U'muskabeles He Miyad, and at this time of year, God is willing to accept it immediately upon the person having such feelings. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzo, we should seek out the Ribono Shel Olam when he is close. Bamedvar Mamburim, says the Rambam, that is talking about a Yachid, that at this time of year God is closer to us than he is throughout the rest of the year, and we should take advantage of that opportunity to have Hirhuri Tshuva. However, the Rambam writes, when we're talking about a community who wants to be shoved the Tshuva, like Ninveh or any other community that together all want to change their ways, there he says, any time that is done with sincerity, Vitzakim Belev Shalem, when it's really done in earnest, then the Rambam says God will listen to that Bechol Kareinu Elav. At any time that they are calling out together to the Ribono Shel Olam for something, he will listen to them. This is really based on a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, but what you see in the Rambam is that this period of year is a particularly close period when we feel that the Ribono Shel Olam's presence is more potent than perhaps at other times during the year. The Rambam, when he talks about the mitzvah of tshuva, specifically on Yom Kippur, so the Rambam says in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, Bizman hazeh she'ein beis hamikdash kayem. Nowadays, when we don't have the opportunity to have a beis hamikdash, ve'ein lanu mizbeach kaparem, we don't have that easy out, so to speak, that we can just go to the mizbeach, bring a karban, and be finished with the problem, ein sham ela tshuva. All we have left is tshuva. Ve'hatshuva mechaperas al kol ha'averos. And tshuva is able to atone for all of our averus. V'itzumo shel Yom HaKippurim, and says the Rambam, the day of Yom Kippur itself, mechaper l'shavim. Yom Kippur, there's a major misconception. Some people think that Yom Kippur will provide us a tshuva, will provide us a forgiveness, even if we don't involve ourselves in the act of tshuva. People think that Yom Kippur is the magic wand that will take care of all the problems, but it's not true. The Rambam says, Yom Kippur is only mechaper l'shavim. It's only for those who make sure to take advantage of the opportunity when God says, here's your chance to do tshuva, I am close to you, I want to accept it. Miskabelas miyad, the Rambam says, is only if somebody engages in the activity, not simply by going through the motion of fasting on Yom Kippur. And then he writes, Yom Kippur hu zman tshuva lakol. Yom Kippur is an opportunity for every person. Liyachid ulirabim. It is the time both for an individual and for a community. Lefikach, and therefore he says, everybody should involve themselves as much as they can, certainly during this time of year, but primarily on Yom HaKippurim is the most important factor that we need to keep in mind, because that is what the Rambam says, Keitz Mechila Uslicha LeYisrael. That is the ultimate time of gaining an atonement for ourselves in God's book. So the question that we need to ask ourselves, which is really raised by Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish in the Beis Yitzchak, he wrote a very important Tshuva Sefer, where he wonders, we have a bracha that is recited on almost every other mitzvah that we perform. Most of the mitzvahs that we do throughout the day or throughout the year, we recite a bracha on. Why is it that when it comes to the very unique and special mitzvah of tshuva that the Rambam writes so much about, why is it that we don't find that we recite a bracha before performing the act of tshuva? Why don't we get up on Erev Yom Kippur and say, we're about to engage in 24 hours of tshuva, and we're going to talk about it, we're going to say Hashamnu, or every day before slichos, when we say certain things in the slichos that are part of the integral aspects of what tshuva is supposed to be all about, why don't we first get up and make a bracha, Sher Kedushanu B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu Al HaTshuva? That's the important question that is asked by Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish. So he writes a number of suggestions. Number one, he says, since perhaps the mitzvah of tshuva can be performed belev, the mitzvah of tshuva really is about what do you feel? What does God feel about you? What do you feel about Him? How close do you feel? And whether or not you have undone that which you have done before. He says, the Rishonim already tell us the rule. When you have a mitzvah that is fulfilled, belave, we do not recite a bracha on such a mitzvah. For example, you have, when you experience a Shemitah, so at the end of the Shemitah year, we have a mitzvah of Hashmatas Ksafim, which means you have to forgive all the loans that you lent out to people. Nowadays, we have the Prizbal, which is to enforce the loan even after Shemitah. But before that was instituted, we had this idea, the Torah says, Hashmatas Ksafim, anybody that you lent out money to, once Shemitah comes around, the loan is gone. They are absolved of their obligation. So the Rishonim say, why do we not recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Hashmatas Ksafim? At the end of Shemitah, it's not easy for me to forgive the loans, but all the loans are forgiven. I have fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Rishonim say, since you can fulfill that, belev, b'machshava, there's nothing really that has to be done. You just forgive it in your heart. Since that's the only way, since that's all that's necessary to get rid of it, we don't recite a bracha. And so too over here, says Rav Yitzchak Shmelkish, since the main aspect of tshuva is belayed, that a person should feel it, therefore it is not necessary to recite a bracha when performing and when engaging in this mitzvah. Another suggestion that he gives is very simple. Let's say we have the mitzvah in the Torah of Veheshev Es Hagzela, which means somebody for whatever reason gets involved in some theft and they steal something from somebody else. There's a very important mitzvah that Veheshev Es Hagzela, you have to give the money back. And there's no such thing as gaining a tshuva for something that we have stolen without returning the item that we stole. And therefore, says Rav Yitzchak Shmelkish, when a person goes ahead and violates the crime of lo signo, you steal something, then the Torah says you have a mitzvah, Veheshev Es Hagzela, go return the item that you stole. Do you make a bracha before you go and give the item back? Of course not. Why? Because it was a mitzvah that was only facilitated by the Avera that you did. We would have preferred, if you didn't violate the Avera, then you wouldn't have to perform the mitzvah. Under the circumstances, this is what the Torah prescribes that you should do. But it's not really the right thing in the first place. It's not something that really should have happened at all. And therefore, writes the Beis Yitzchak, whenever you have a mitzvah that was facilitated by an Avera, it was predicated by an Avera, there is no reason to recite a bracha on that. And therefore, he writes the same over here. If it were not for the fact that we've all done things wrong in the past year, we would have no obligation to do tshuva at all. So what are you saying? We should get up now and perform the mitzvah of tshuva and make a bracha on the fact that we did an avera this past year? That's almost synonymous, he says, to the person who stole an item and now makes a bracha before returning it to its owner. So that's the second answer that he gives. There are many other answers. Some achronim give the suggestion that maybe we should say, anytime you have a mitzvah which is tali b'das acherim, let's say, why do we not recite a bracha when we give tzedakah to a poor person who's in need? So sometimes you'll say, maybe the person is not legitimately in need. Every once in a while we have that, where we give money, unfortunately, to the wrong causes. But there are some times when we know, it's so clear, it's so obvious that the person really is in need, and the money that we're giving really is going to help. There's no way that we are falling into something that is a bad investment. So there, why do we not recite a bracha? The Rishonim say the reason is because when you have something that is tali b'das acherim, if I'm going to shake my lulav, it's all up to me whether or not I'll perform the mitzvah. But what am I going to do? I'm going to stand there and make a bracha before I give the money to the poor person who's in need. What if they don't accept it? Every once in a while, you give a dollar to a poor person and they feel it's beneath their dignity to take a dollar. I was expecting $100. And they give it back to you. Happens every once in a while. No one's ever had that? Yeah. Happens every once in a while. They give it back to you. Oh, don't give me this. You know, that's not what they were expecting. They wanted more. So in a case like that, writes the Rashba, we'll comment, it's a bracha levatala. When it's tali b'das acherim, when you need somebody else to accept the mitzvah that you're doing, it's not all dependent on you personally, but you need some interaction with somebody else in order for the mitzvah to go into effect. Therefore, in a case like that, we don't recite a bracha, and that's what some suggest here as well. We can do tshuva all we want, but there's another party involved. Either if it's ben adam lachavero, if it's something that we've slighted other people, we can do tshuva, but we need somebody else to accept our tshuva. We need somebody else to accept the fact that we are asking mechila. That's maybe a reason why we do not recite a bracha. And even when it's ben adam lamakom, we also need God to accept our tshuva. We need Him to see our sincerity. That's not always a given that God is going to be so understanding and so forgiving. We can do as much as we can do, but it's not so clear that the other party, either God or another human being, will accept. I do have to say that for those who were here yesterday, I made a comment in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote that on one occasion, on Yom Kippur, he had a long line of people waiting outside of his house to ask questions with regard to the fast. And after the long line was finished, he turned to his family members and he said, I'm amazed, because not one person who was standing on this line thought about asking a question in the realm of Hilchos Tshuva. Everybody's questions were about fasting and about bathing and about washing and different aspects of Yom Kippur. Everybody missed the boat. Somebody should be asking me about how do I properly do the mitzvah of tshuva? How do I make up with my friend that I have slighted, that I did something wrong to? So I mentioned that yesterday in the shir, and I thought it was a very beautiful comment. It was a beautiful perspective of Reb Shlomo Zalman to think about that. That so many of us go through Yom Kippur always worrying about, do we wash to the knuckle? Do we wash till here? What if a Birchus Kohanim? Are we allowed to take mouthwash? Are we allowed to brush our teeth? And we have all these kinds of questions. And how many of us go through Yom Kippur actually focusing on the mitzvah sayom, which is the mitzvah of tshuva? So I made that comment. This morning I got a phone call and I was so amazed. It was such a beautiful phone call. It was unfortunate but beautiful at the same time. And I asked the person if I could mention it in my shir today because I think it's inspiring. There's a couple going through a divorce, not in this community, and I happen to know both sides. And one of the parties involved called me this morning, one of the husband or the wife, one of them, I don't need to give any more details, called and said, I know that I have slighted my partner terribly through this process. I know that I have caused them tremendous pain and aggravation, and I know that I've spoken to many of my friends along the way about the problems that I'm going through and about how to deal with it. And many Rabbanim I've spoken to about how to deal with the issue, and she says, I would like to know, what is my obligation of tshuva? What do I do about mechila? Is this something I should be doing? Meanwhile, I assume that the other side is doing the same thing, just in reverse. They're also going around and slandering and doing terrible things and aggravating the other party. I'm sure both sides are contributing, but it was so meaningful, it was so beautiful that somebody's actually calling about such a question to ask whether or not they have an obligation of mechila and tshuva for something like that. And then the subtext of the question was that this person wanted to know, what if it's going to hurt in some way the divorce proceedings going forward if I go ahead and have such a conversation with my spouse? Because, you know, when they're in that sensitive time, perhaps it can be manipulated, and, oh, look, you're trying to say that you're such a tzaddik, and I'm not a tzaddik, and you're good and I'm bad. I don't know. I don't know what can happen. I thought it was a very beautiful question. I told the person that I thought it was way over my head, and I don't know the answer. I should go ask somebody else, but I was very moved by the fact that somebody who's going through such a difficult time in their life is still willing to see the overall perspective and go into Yom Kippur trying to have some sort of feeling of reconciliation, even though a terrible situation is before them. So there is a famous comment that the Rambam makes, where the Rambam says that when a person does tshuva, they have to make sure to verbalize, they have to make sure to articulate the vidui, they have to say, Chatasi avisi pashati, I did this wrong, I feel bad about it, either I did it on purpose or inadvertently. But either way, the Rambam says you have to be misvada, you have to say it. So a very powerful idea that Rav Asher Weiss told me on many occasions, and then he subsequently wrote it. I don't remember where he wrote it, but I have it in my notes from somewhere. It must be written. And it's something that, if you know Rav Asher Weiss, is very much a classic of his, a chiddush of his that is very classic. And it's a very beautiful one. And he writes that he was asked the question by an ilein, person who doesn't have the ability to speak. How do they get a tshuva? How do they get a kapara? If the Rambam says that one of the most integral parts of the tshuva process is that they have to verbalize chatasi avisi pashati, what do I do? So some achronim say that shomea ka'ona, the same way if a person can't speak and they have to make a bracha on a food item, they can have somebody else make the bracha for them. So to over here, maybe you can have somebody else verbalize the tshuva. You type it on the computer, let them verbalize for you what it is that you want to say, and maybe that's good enough. That's what some say. And he writes that he doesn't think that is the answer. He says, Be'ikar hadavar, this is again a very classic of his train of thought. He says, L'chara nira, in my opinion, he says, D'shayni vidui, mishar mitzvah shebedibur. We have many mitzvahs that God instructs us to do. He asks us to make brachos with our mouths. He asks us to do many things with our speech. But he says, vidui and shuva is very different, categorically different, than many of the other mitzvahs that we have to perform with our mouths. D.E. Efsher, he says, in my opinion, it is absolutely inconceivable. Sheyehe Adam Yisrael Sheninu Lo Sharei Tshuva. It is impossible to imagine that there is a person in this world that God would take away the opportunity of tshuva from. It is impossible. It is impossible that God would put someone on this earth with any kind of impediment to their ability to perform the tshuva process. And therefore, even though the Rambam says that one of the most fundamental elements and aspects of tshuva is that you have to be misvada bepeh, you have to say, you have to verbalize that which you feel, you have to articulate it. If you have somebody who doesn't have the ability to articulate, there must be another way for them to do it. Because it's impossible to imagine that someone can live in this world and someone can live through life without being given the opportunity to have the tshuva accepted. And he writes, Val Kane, and therefore, he says, in my opinion, it must be that even though a person might not have that ability to articulate it, God will accept the tshuva anyway, because it's impossible to imagine anything otherwise. It's impossible to imagine that a person can be put into this world without having the ability to do tshuva, because it is so much a central focus of what our religion is all about. It is such a fundamental aspect of what the world lives on, that God gives us the opportunity to do tshuva, God gives us the opportunity to make good for those mistakes that we perhaps have violated over the past year. And to me, this is such a powerful comment, because his premise is that it's inconceivable to imagine that a person can live without the opportunity of tshuva. So much so that he's willing to almost reinterpret a Rambam to mean something that the Rambam seemingly never meant to say at all. But because it is such a fundamental, such a pivotal aspect of what Judaism is all about, that tshuva is such an important aspect of everything we believe in, it is inconceivable, he writes, to say that there's a human being who might not be afforded that opportunity of doing tshuva. So we should all take advantage of this time of year, as we mentioned, Dirshu Hashem b'Yimatzo, take full advantage of the fact that God is considered to be closer to us at this time of year than he is in perhaps other junctures of the year, and may we be granted with a Gemar Chasima Tova, the Kabbal Kol Tfilasenu, Berachamim Uveratzon.